Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor John Yoo, the Civitas Institute of the University of Texas and Berkeley Law School. However, I'm going to call upon John. In his youth, he served the George W. Bush administration. And in his youth, he takes us on a stroll down memory lane in a recent article about challenges to the United States' understanding of due process and the courts made by men who insist upon being violent, a threat to the United States, and may or may not be out of place. For example, terrorism. Also, for example, gangland activity or coming into the United States without documents. All of that comes to recent current events. One, the deportation of so-called Trandiaragua terrorists by the ICE service and the United States government, Mr. Trump's administration, to El Salvador, where they're jailed. And their fate is determined by a man, Bukele Naib, who is a president of another country, not our country. And the other is a man from Maryland named Abrego, who everybody acknowledges now was incorrectly detained and transported also to El Salvador. These questions all bring up what is to be done, and John Yoo has published a piece recalling how the Bush administration early on had to deal with these cases. John, a very good evening to you. The Alien Enemies Act, that is what is cited, say, late 18th century, by the Trump administration. But your challenge was to deal with what is a war and what is not a war. What is the important distinction between declaring a war and getting Congress to agree and not declaring a war and using warlike powers? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening, John, and thank you very much for having me back, and happy birthday to you and the State of Israel.
Thank you.
Two very important events 77 years ago. I thought what I would do in this piece in City Journal is recall how when I was a young official in the Justice Department, faced with the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, how we had to think through some of the same problems that confront the Trump administration. As you said, John, one of the very important things, the fundamental thing, was, were we at war? In that case, back in 9/11, administrations of both parties had treated terrorism as a crime, as something that happened in peacetime. The reason why war is important is because once you're at war, you can detain members of the enemy. You can hold them. You don't have to put them on trial. You can just hold them until the war is over. Under the Alien Enemies Act, if you're fighting against a foreign government, you can detain any national of that government in your country. You don't have to put them on trial. You can hold them or you can, right, deport them. And I thought what I'd do in the piece is contrast that with President Trump and his immigration agenda, where we have treated immigration always as a civilian matter, as a peacetime matter. But what Trump is doing in a way is kind of retracing the steps we took towards the war on terrorism after 9/11. Trump, in invoking the Alien Enemies Act to deport these Trandiaragua, suspected Trandiaragua members from Venezuela and send them to El Salvador, he's trying to alter the legal system, the political system towards immigration to have some of the features of war. But there's important differences, as you pointed out, John, in your first question, is after 9/11, although we thought constitutionally the president could respond immediately, we thought important to go to Congress and get a what they called an authorization to use military force, which is tantamount to a declaration of war, for very much for the questions we're talking about now. Would people be able to be held? What kind of due process would they get? What would be the role of the courts? That's a glaring difference from what's going on now with President Trump. He has sought no congressional approval for his efforts to claim we're at war with Venezuela and that the Tren de la Aragua is some kind of arm of the Venezuelan government. And so we can detain Venezuelans and kick them out of the country without any kind of criminal trial or anything like the process we usually have in federal courts.
The Supreme Court weighed in on this for the Bush administration, and it's important to touch upon these decisions because the court provided guidance, except for there was some bumps in the guidance. Hamdi versus Rumsfeld is the famous case, but we're dealing with, and John, this reads like a stroll down memory lane. We were both younger men.
Yes.
John Walker Lynn, the American Taliban, who spent nearly 20 years in jail and is now released. He was released in 19 and went into supervision for 3 years. And Richard Reed, that's the famous shoe bomber who meant to murder people on a flight into Detroit. Jose Padilla. All of those men were regarded as terrorists and a threat to the United States, except the Supreme Court wanted them to have due process. Is that correct, Professor?
Yes. In the end, the rule became, and we accepted that in the Bush administration, the rule became, first, any American citizen. So like John Walker Lind, you might remember, was captured in Afghanistan fighting for the Taliban, right? He joined the Taliban before 9/11, right? He joined Al-Qaeda before the 9/11 attacks. And we found him in Afghanistan. First, we said any American citizen worldwide will be brought home to the United States and we'll choose to try them under the criminal laws or we'll hold them. Both Lind and Jose Padilla are American citizens. Unfortunately, both were affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Remember, Jose Padilla tried to get back in the U.S. and try to blow up some kind of dirty bomb, right? Some kind of bomb with radioactive material attached to it. We chose not to try Jose Padilla. We chose to try John Walker Lind. Then we had people in the U.S. who were not citizens, who were aliens. But we thought the rule was that the Supreme Court from the World War II cases said people in the U.S. get due process of some kind, whether they're aliens or citizens. So you might remember we captured a fellow named Zacharias Moussaoui, who was the 20th hijacker. I don't know if you remember this. Yes. And we decided to give him due process. He eventually pled guilty. The question that the Supreme Court, yeah, you might remember Mr. Hamdi. He was an American. Well, no, I'm sorry. There's so many of them. But Hamdi is someone who's also captured by the United States. We decide to give him due process. The question is, what happens with the people outside the U.S., people who are not American citizens or have no connection with us? We thought the rule was they're just held as prisoners of war would be held, as enemy combatants would be held. There'll be some kind of process, but it will be a process provided in wartime that the military usually engages with. And so all those cases, you remind me, John, as you said, this is like a walk down memory lane. They culminate in cases about what is Guantanamo Bay? Is Guantanamo Bay inside the U.S. or is Guantanamo Bay outside the U.S.? But in general, putting aside Guantanamo Bay, which is the hard case on the margins, the general framework is people in the U.S., we find them in our territory, we give them due process. People we capture in Afghanistan, people we capture in Iraq, they don't have the benefit of due process in our civilian courts. They're captured, held by the military. The military provides them with process, but it's not the same kind that we give in the United States.
Do I remember correctly, John, these matters, that there was a debate the whole time, a lot of tension with Congress, a lot of finger pointing going on. And when the Supreme Court weighed in and said due process is necessary, that stopped the finger pointing and the blame shifting. And due process did not in any fashion dislodge the intention to contain these men as threats. It took a little longer, but in the end it came out right. Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, I think you're right, John. There were a lot of bumps in the road because we were dealing with, I think a lot of that is because of the unprecedented nature of the attacks, which have some similarity with what the Trump administration thinks Venezuela is up to. We're fighting an enemy, Al-Qaeda, that wasn't fighting in uniform. It wasn't like the German army in World War II or the Japanese army. They weren't fighting in regular armed, regular groups, regular units with uniforms, defending territory, defending a city. They were deliberately camouflaging themselves as civilians to infiltrate into our country and launch massive attacks on our civilians. All violations of the rules of war, by the way. So Hamdi was a very important case because there were a significant number of people in Congress, a lot of professors, a lot of leading figures in the bar who thought we could not have a war, that just there was no such thing as a war against a terrorist group. You could only have a war against Germany. You could only have a war against Japan. And in Hamdi, the court said, because Congress and the president agree that we're at war, we will not second guess this. We accept their decision. And so someone like Hamdi, who happens to have been born in the U.S. as a child, but is, you know, goes back to the Middle East and is caught fighting for the enemy, we'll give him some kind of due process because he's a citizen. It doesn't necessarily have to look like a criminal trial. But the key thing was that the court said war can take these irregular forms. It's not just a crime. The government and the United States are not hamstrung by this either or war against nations, crime against groups. And so that was an extremely important case. And again, as you also say, this principle, I think that the Bush administration agreed with, that we're going to have due process for everyone in the United States of some kind. I think you're right, John. I think it did stabilize the rules and that a lot of the fighting about the war on terrorism subsided because it gave people confidence in how the executive branch and the courts were going to treat people, that there weren't going to be people who were caught by mistake. I think that's very important for the American people to understand. The government, you know, the Bush administration doesn't want to hold anybody by mistake. We don't want to hold anyone who's not a member of Al-Qaeda. That's a waste of resources and time for everybody and a deprivation of civil liberties. So the court and the Congress and the president all agreeing on that. I agree with you, John. I think a lot of the controversy in war on terrorism started to subside because we had a system. But it took a few years for that system to really emerge and be agreed on.
You have a checklist in your article. We've touched on all of them. Make sure it's understood as an act of war. That is critical. Due process is needed and answers a lot of questions that otherwise could be asked. And this one, John, this is the tough one. Obey the Supreme Court. That was then. Is that now, yes, John?
That's the hard question, is this president going to obey the Supreme Court? Now, the Bush administration could have gone farther. They could have gone as far as the Trump administration. As we've discussed before on your program, the only president who's really done this before is Lincoln at the start of the Civil War, where the courts opposed him, you know, where Chief Justice Roger Taney, the author of Dred Scott, ordered Lincoln to release Confederate prisoners because they said, this is not a war. This Civil War is not a war. There's nothing in the Constitution about a Civil War. This is just people you've picked up because you think they're criminals. They should get a criminal trial. Every Confederate prisoner should get a criminal trial with a jury. And Lincoln just said, you can't fight a war that way. We can't fight the Confederacy if we're treating every single one of them as a criminal defendant. So in the Bush administration, we decided early on we could not follow the Lincoln precedent because we needed to have a set of rules in which the American people would be confident that it would harm the war effort to have the presidency and the judiciary at odds. So I think that's very important, John, because you said this time, though. Now, President Trump has said on TV that he will never defy judicial order. But you have people in his orbit and his universe attacking judges, saying we should impeach judges, suggesting that if a judge ordered the actual release of any of these Trendell Aragua suspects, that they might think about declining to obey the order. I think that gets you into very dangerous territory. And instability, political and legal instability, I think detracts from any kind of either war effort as it was 20 years ago, almost 25 years ago, or pursuing a tough immigration agenda today.
We're coming to an important event for the Supreme Court in May when we come back with John Yoo, the Civitas Institute and University of California at Berkeley Law School.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.